Creativity is contagious. Pass it on in any way possible. Albert Einstein.
Hi, creatives. Thank you for joining us on this new episode of season 3 of Brewing Up Creativity. I am your host, Daniela Bonte, and I am a full-time entrepreneur and the lead graphic designer of my Toronto graphic design studio, Daniela Bonte Designs. I'm on a mission to inspire creatives like yourself to pursue your creative dreams one podcast episode at a time. Whether you're new here or an avid listener, I'm incredibly happy you're here, and I'm really excited about today's all-new episode.
I am joined here with Nessa Lilly. Nessa's career started as a graphic designer for numerous esteemed publications in Toronto, and then embarked on a creative journey in crafting bespoke illustrations, swiftly recognizing an immense demand for her illustrations. Nessa, known by her online presence, has since collaborated with a plethora of esteemed brands such as Goop, Nude Sticks, Mango, Jo Malone, Uniqlo, Charlotte Tilbury, Levi's, Saks, Garnier, Victoria's Secret, Four Seasons, Ulta, and an extensive array of other notable brands. Moreover, her bespoke illustrations have captivated over 1,000 discerning individuals from all corners of the globe. Driven by an unwavering commitment to infuse delight into the world, Nessa aspires to spread joy one meticulously crafted illustration at a time. Hi, Nessa. Thank you so much for joining me. I am so happy to have you on today. But first, how are you doing? How's your day going?
It's going well. I'm a little bit nervous.
Don't be. I mean, your work is gorgeous. And we're just happy to have you on because you're a hugely creative inspiration on, you know, social media. And to hear your voice in person for anybody who's been following you or new to learning about you, that's just amazing in itself.
Oh, thank you. I'm such a big fan of your podcast. So I'm really excited.
I'm so happy to have you on. Thank you so much. Before we jump into things and start really diving into illustration, I love to ask this question. I just feel like everybody's got their own go-to, but the icebreaker question is, what's your go-to coffee or tea order? Or what are you making at home? What are you loving?
I'm always making coffee at home. I'm in a rush every morning to start work. So I do an espresso pod with Elmhurst vanilla oat creamer, or I'm Polish, so I grew up with instant coffee, which I know is like so taboo, but honestly, sometimes I just have that like craving for instant coffee and instant coffee with vanilla Elmhurst.
I've had instant coffee and I actually think it's delicious. I don't care what anybody says.
It's delicious. And honestly, sometimes I have migraines because I'm like staring at a screen all day. And for whatever reason, the instant coffee kind of like cures that for me. So I'm a big instant coffee fan. I know that's horrible, but I am.
It's not. Like I've only had it a handful of times, and each time I was pleasantly surprised. It has like a natural sweetness to it. I actually don't even find I need sugar with instant coffee for some reason. I think it's great, although I've only had it again like a handful of times. There's no judgment over here. I mean, everybody comes on, and it's so cool to hear the different amount of like drinks and things to try out. And I think that's just one of them. And I have instant coffee on hand at all times anyways.
And I feel like it's the creamer, right? Like vanilla creamer can make anything taste delicious. But yeah, like I think something about the instant. I love it. I love it so much.
No, good point. Anything vanilla, like even if I'm going out to get a coffee order, adding in that shot of vanilla or whatever it might be, it's great. And it's such a great treat too. I love that. Before we start talking about what you do, why don't you introduce yourself and lead us into the journey of what led you here today?
Oh gosh. Well, I'm an illustrator. I illustrate full time. I do a lot of branded illustration, which is solely digital based. And then I also do, I would say 50% of the time now, I do live illustration, which is like quick fashion sketches on site at branded events, at weddings, at showers. But I've really leaned into that. So I'm live illustrating a lot these days. And how this all kind of came about, I mean, it's a long, long story, but I used to work in fashion. I went to U of T for fine art history. I kind of like left halfway through because I was really intent on working in fashion. And I managed to get myself a position with the FDCC, which was the Fashion Design Council of Canada at the time, which is a big deal. Like, you don't, if you get a fashion job, you take it. So I left school. I did that for a few years. Then I worked with Flair Magazine in the closet. And then I worked as a brand strategist with Flavin Agency and moved on to Rebecca Minkoff. So I was there for a bunch of years. Yeah. And while I was at Rebecca Minkoff, I like learned a lot from them and from the company I was working for. And I realized that like fashion in Canada at the time, now I'm sure it's changed, but at the time it was very like business oriented and I really missed the art. So while I was with Minkoff, we would get different products in Canada than were sold in the States, or like half the amount of products.
Yeah.
So I started doing the digital lookbooks for Canada.
How cool.
For shops to pick from. And when I started getting back into like that graphic kind of like artistic space, I realized how much I missed being in the art. And I decided that I needed to finish my degree before I did anything else and went back to U of T. I finished my degree there and then decided to do a post-grad in graphic design. Because I'd been in the fashion, because I'd been in the fashion space for so long, I had a lot of connections. So yeah. I was like, I'm going to be a graphic designer at a magazine. So it's going to kind of like relate to what I was doing. So I graduated from my post-grad and started working at House & Home Magazine, which was like a really amazing time in my life. House & Home is run by Linda Reeves. She is a boss and owns the magazine herself. Like there are not other, big conglomerate owners. And she was like such an inspiration at the time. And it's just like a really nice time in my life when I think back. But while I was there, I started illustrating again and like just doing kind of like stuff that I had done in like high school and grade school. And like, I was always really inspired by Garance Doré.
Yeah.
And so I just started kind of like working in that style, or like the style that I thought I could do that was similar to that. And I was going to a lot of events and I was posting a lot of my art on social media. And at these events, a lot of the PR people that like worked for these companies started asking me to do little like one-off projects. And it just got so busy that I was like, why am I not doing this?
Yeah.
Also at the time at House & Home Magazine, I was in the like digital space. So we were animating the magazine so that you could read it on an iPad. And when I started there was like five people on my team. And within a year and a half, I was like leading that team and there was only one other person working with me. And so that got really difficult. And I saw that they didn't really know what they wanted for the digital issue and that it was kind of being phased out. Yeah. So I kind of like jumped on the illustration train and started doing it full time and left House & Home. It was the scariest thing ever, but I just left.
The leap is always so scary, but it's always something that you'll remember. Anytime I've talked to somebody that went from like what felt like stable and a secure job and then taking what you love and something that what you said, where you hadn't illustrated since high school and then you randomly just got this urge. I was talking to somebody like 2 days ago and they were saying like when you randomly get those urges to fall into hobbies that your childhood or teenage self used to love, it is actually your child, like your, because we all have a little 5-year-old girl
or
16-year-old girl inside screaming to come out. And I think we suppress them and we become so serious and work focused and driven that we forget that there were things that we loved. And that's why it's so great like coming on here and talking about this, because we can end up pursuing what we loved as a child. Mm-hmm. As a full-time job or a business that we never even probably anticipated for us to pursue. So it's actually, it's interesting to hear that you randomly decided to pick up on it again after loving it in your teenage years. But you also seem to have known that you wanted to do art after you had so many different opportunities where you weren't being creative or as creative as you had hoped to be. And that's, I feel like we end up having those experiences in order to realize that we need to be creative. Yeah.
I had a friend from grade school actually reach out to me on Instagram and she's like, Nessa, she's like, well, she said Vanessa, but she was like, do you remember in grade school, you used to like draw our dresses, like what we would wear to our wedding, what we would wear to prom, what we would wear to like the store. And I was like, yes, like that is what I used to get in trouble. I wasn't listening and I was illustrating these like fashion illustrations. So it's really funny because like when I'm doing live illustration now, that's exactly what I'm doing. And like,
that's so funny.
There was such a disconnect between that, like in grade school to like what I do now. And it took like that grade school friend pointing out that this is what I used to do during class all the time.
And there's people outside that end up noticing things maybe before we do, because we think like, oh, what a nice hobby I had as a kid. Like
yeah,
that
exactly.
I something that I love.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
To get that like fine, distinct memory that this previous friend had of you, and it kind of you had like a full circle moment. I always think that's crazy because I had that as well. And I find it hilarious because I never considered graphic design. I loved to do art and design. And I don't know if you were part of like the Tumblr phase at all, but it's kind of like
I was more of like a viewer of Tumblr. I did Tumblr. I didn't do make my own Tumblr.
Well, I totally went into it and
that's
I was
amazing.
Like coding and I had this blog and I grew a following and I was obsessed with it. And then I remember at the time, so I'm a teenager as well. And my brother came up to me and he sees what I'm doing and he's like, have you ever considered graphic design? Like you've kind of been doing this for a really long time. And I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And then I fast forward like 10, 12 years later. And here I am doing it as
that's
a full-time
amazing.
Job. And I never even considered it. So I actually think that's hilarious. And actually really super sweet that she reached out to you to be like, do you remember this? Because I sure do. And it's such a great full circle moment.
I know. I love it. It was really funny.
So obviously we can see that you've evolved over time and as life goes on, we always do and our careers change, our businesses shift and how we offer what we do. When you got back into school and you realized, you know, you did your postgraduate in graphic design and you were getting back into fashion illustration, did you see yourself or envision yourself to be where you are today with working like with such large scale clients and companies and doing this full time? Or did you see yourself maybe climbing the fashion ladder in some aspect? Did you see this coming?
You know what? I knew I was going to work with like magazines and big fashion brands. But when I went back to school and when I was doing my postgrad, I really was like set on layout and, you know, creating these like beautiful magazine pages. I love that. I still love that. I think it's like
editorial design is amazing.
It's amazing. And I love looking at a beautiful magazine and when something's laid out properly and like by someone with a trained eye and who's like gone to school for it, I just appreciate it so, so much. But I always knew I wanted more and I get very bored very easily. And it's like a blessing and a curse.
Relatable.
Because, right? And I think that's like what a lot of creatives do. So I always kind of like need to hit this like next level or figure out like my next goal.
Yes.
But yeah, so I guess it was never a question whether I was in like work with big brands, but like, did I see myself illustrating and like working for myself and creating this career for myself and like this very niche career? Absolutely not. And I think that just goes to show that you need to like take every single opportunity that comes your way, even if you don't feel like it's maybe like aligned with what you're doing at that very moment. If it's like something that calls to you even a little bit, you need to like take that opportunity and run with it.
Agreed. Yeah. Follow it through. Absolutely.
Yeah.
For creatives that end up, you know, speaking for myself, at least I can speak for myself. I can agree. Like I didn't see this formulating and I didn't see it becoming what it is. I was taking on a couple of side jobs and freelancing gigs and I was content with that, still thinking I was going to be working for another company or studio on a full-time basis. Like that was what I had envisioned. Then you fast forward as a creative and then you're operating your business. You have to learn so many different skills beyond just being creative. And although like that's the part that we love the part of where we get to be creative, but we also have to learn a lot of different other skills and integrate new assets into our business in order for it to keep growing. And Absolutely. What would you say was maybe like the hardest part of operating your business? Like, was it like a hard skill that you needed to learn? Like maybe like some new technology, or was it like the networking aspect? Like what's been maybe the hardest part for you as a creative business owner?
I have a very photographic memory. So before I started my business, my daily plans were like all logged up in my head. And I would say even up until like 2 years ago, I very rarely kept a calendar because I didn't need to. And I found that like just creating those like spreadsheets, the calendars, the staying organized technically is something that I do not like to do. And you really have to when you're running your own business, because as you know, your calendar is quite full and it just gets a little bit out of hand. And I know that sounds so trivial, but it's like something that I hate doing.
No, it's not fun. But being like organized, you end up realizing like just helps you in the end to make more time to be creative. So it actually is one of those skills that you take and you learn along the way. It's a trial and error when it comes to like organization and managing your calendar to make sure that things don't coincide with each other. You're not overbooking yourself or doing anything that could pretty much hurt your creativity, because that's what people are hiring you for.
Oh yeah. And with live illustration, like the bookings are so integral to what I'm doing. So absolutely.
Actually, like on that note, I know that it's becoming a huge thing with some illustrators. Like I see it, and I think it's actually so cool because it's more collaborative. People can see it more in action. And is that like something that you expected again to see yourself doing?
And when someone first kind of like mentioned it to me and said like, you should do this, I was like, absolutely not. I will not be doing live illustration at a party. Like, no.
That would be hard.
I was being asked about it a little bit and I was like, why am I so fearful of this? Like, what is stopping me? Because it's obviously fear that's stopping me. Like, what, I'm scared that people are going to see that I'm not good enough, right? Like I'm going to be illustrating and maybe I'm not good enough because it's live and I will fail, right? That was what the fear was that was stopping me. And what I realized was that a lot of these live illustrators, like they practice their style and they practice doing it quickly. And it's kind of becomes like this self-taught, a different art form, right? So I kind of like started doing it a little bit. And then I was like, I really love this because as a graphic designer, I'm sure you know, you work alone and in silence a lot of the time. So when I'm doing branded digital illustration all day, every single day, it's by myself. You know, I have my music going and my coffee and whatever, but it's like you are isolated. And live illustration is the complete opposite of that. So like you're interacting with, you know, you're going to illustrate 70 people in 3 hours. And you're interacting with all of them and there's this like hustle and bustle. People are so excited to get the illustrations. They're showing you like so much gratitude and it feels so amazing. And I realized that like I needed that. I'm like an introverted extrovert. So I love my time while I'm illustrating alone. But then I also realized how much I needed that like, it's validation. It's like people are saying, I love this. Thank you. And like, you're getting to like talk to them. It's so nice. So I started to love it. And I just like, over the last 2 years have leaned into it so much that now it's like 50% of my business. And that part of my business really allows me to pick and choose what I do digitally for brands. I don't have to take everything that is coming my way anymore because I'm sustaining myself with the live illustrations. And it's like, I don't know, it's like been such an exciting pivot in my career.
What a good point.
Hi, creatives. I'm coming at you with an amazing solution to automate your business so you can focus on exactly what you need to do while elevating your client experience. Dubsado helps to manage client projects, automate your work, and grow your business all at once. You can use Dubsado to sign contracts, collect payments, send custom forms, and get your time back in these custom workflows all in one place. It's a business management platform for everybody, and it is designed to fit your business. I used Dubsado to run my graphic design studio, Daniela Ponte Designs, and it helps me to uplevel my client experiences and make more time for myself. It's made sending proposals, invoices, contracts, and more such a breeze. If you're looking to make a difference in your systems, you can receive 20% off your first month or year by using my link or code within the show notes below. Let's get back to the episode.
There's so many amazing things that like have come of that. One, the community aspect. Like you're meeting absolutely. New people, you're networking, you're meeting people from so many different backgrounds. And I think we all are like craving that as designers or even just people that are attending the events. Like, and it's always so cool to receive something that's a personable experience. We all want this personable experience where it's really cool to see how I think from a consumer standpoint, if I'm even just considering it, if you were illustrating me and I'm at one of these events, it would be so cool to see how you look at me or my outfit or whatever it might be versus how I look at myself. I think that's why people show so much gratitude because they're like, wow, look how cool this amazing illustrator was able to depict how I decided to dress myself or express myself for tonight's event. And then that's something that they can carry out and keep with them, probably even frame it. Like, I know I would frame it if that was like, if I had the opportunity to get that done. I think the community aspect is so amazing. But what I love that you pointed out was that it's also beneficial for you because I get it. I am designing alone. Nobody's staring at my screen. So if I mess up, like, that's on me. No one cares. I don't care. I'm like, oh, Command-Z, like, delete it.
Correct.
But, like, in person, I feel like it also instills, like, a whole new confidence in you. Like you, I think I heard, like, a little bit of imposter syndrome, and we all get it.
Oh, yeah. I still get it all the time.
Yeah.
And even, like before every live, I'll do, like, last week I did 10 in a row, and, like, once you're on your 10th, you're like, oh, I've got this. But then, like, a week will go by, and I won't do a live. And then I'll jump into it again. And going into that first one, I feel it. I'm nervous. I'm like, I have imposter syndrome. I'm like, I'm not good enough. Is this going to work out? What if I really mess up? It's all there. And I just have to like work through it.
Yeah. And it goes to show anybody of any stage can get imposter syndrome. Like,
absolutely.
Like I see your work and I'm like, oh my gosh, she's so insanely talented. Like I just illustrate for fun. Right. So like for you to think that like, it's absolutely like insane, but it just goes to show that we all have these self doubts
every
inside
time
of ourselves.
Everyone.
We're like our own worst enemies. But at the end of the day, there's people that are admiring your style and what you do. And the fact that you're able to sit down, bring your paper and start drawing and having people watch you. Like, I think that is just amazing in itself because it's something I have a hard time doing. I remember I was part of like an Adobe Live and like people were like coming in and watching on a live stream. And I was like so nervous. If somebody like actually knew me behind the screen, I had no spit in my mouth. I was so nervous. Like, it's so gross to say, but I was so dehydrated. I was exhausted. I was so tired. And then I had people like commenting, being like, why don't you try this and do this and that? I was like, oh yeah, sure. But like no one knew. I was nervous. Yeah. I think maybe I'm able to like hide it, but I was so nervous. Like it takes a lot to do that, to have somebody watch you. Meanwhile, groups of people. So like, I appreciate you for even just saying that because we all get nervous.
And then I think the nerves are good.
They are.
The nerves are good. They're showing you that you're doing something that you love and that you care about it. If you weren't nervous, you probably don't care. So that's important. And yeah, I feel like also I always tell myself that like, well, now I'm telling everybody how nervous I am. But I say like, you know, nobody in front of me knows how nervous I am. So like I know it, they don't know it. And that's all that matters.
Yes. And they usually can never tell and they're admiring you for what you do anyways. And that's what I was telling myself as well. Like so many people who watched it, they were like, you did so well. I'm like, can you tell I was nervous?
I'm sure you did so well.
Well, yeah. I don't know. Like, I mean, I'm so hard on myself as our creatives. We're always so hard on ourselves. We're such perfectionists.
Yeah. We're so hard on ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, when are we ever speaking like that to other creatives? We're all just like, you go. And then when it comes to us,
you're amazing.
We're so rude.
Yeah.
It's the worst. But no one
knows. Don't you feel so good after like after you did that live? I'm sure you felt so good. And I like really hold on to those moments because I'm like, this is why I need to be scared. This is why I need to push through.
Yes.
Because those moments of accomplishment after are like worth every moment of fear and anxiety that I had to go through to get there.
That's such a good point. Like, although those nerves are setting in and the doubt and whatever it might be, that however you feel, I know everybody can feel maybe a little different in their own certain way, but those emotions associated, like you said, it's like because you care, Yeah. And you took on that opportunity. And yes, like that feeling of like, I don't even know about you, but like, I swear like so many like endorphins are released. You have like a sense of adrenaline too after it's done, and yeah, you feel so accomplished. And you realize, I did that. Like, I was actually able to do that, even if we were telling ourselves, can you really do this? Like, yes, you absolutely can.
Even this podcast, I was like, no, I'm not doing a podcast. And then I was like, why am I not doing it? Why am I fearful of this? So I'm like, okay, I'm just leaning in and doing anything that comes my way right now that's like exciting and that scares me.
Yes, I've posted it like months and months ago where I was like, if you feel a sense of fear where it's you're questioning your abilities, maybe it's actually a door knocking. Well, you're knocking on a door, a door is knocking for you, or it's open, yeah, and it's door and it's saying like, take me.
100%.
Because it's a learning experience, and then you can go on, and maybe you're destined to teach down the line. Maybe you're destined to be a speaker and promote whatever it is that anybody's doing. Like these little things that come your way, I swear that they're all signs and they're all meant to be, and they lead you into a direction that is meant to come into your journey, whatever it might be.
Well, so sorry to interrupt you, but I still agree with that. I feel like I'm such a believer in everything happens the way it's like meant, yeah, to happen. And that's why I'm so into like just taking every opportunity that comes your way, or like trying things before you feel you're ready, or like, yes, not letting the I feel like when I was young, I felt like I saw everyone's like accomplishments and it felt like I had to perfect something before I would get there, or before I could, yeah, show the world what good I was point. Doing. And I think that like it's such an opportunity to just like, if you love illustrating, scribble on paper, post about it. Like just even if it's in your stories, just get yourself in front of people any way you can, doing whatever it is that you're doing. And honestly, like a year from now, you'll be so happy that you like got those little scribbles out on paper or on, you know, social media. Because like if you hadn't done that for a year, then you're that year behind. So just like put yourself out there as much as you possibly can. Like, because also when you get busy as an artist, it's really hard to like create for yourself. I don't know if you find that, but like, I'm sure you're very, very busy. Like, when do you find the time to create for yourself? I have a really hard time. I have like headaches, eye aches. Like, I'm always staring at a screen. I'm always illustrating. So when I have like half an hour or an hour before bed, I don't even like to read anymore because it's like my eyes are tired. So like, yeah, just do it now while you can and get like all of that like inside internal work out before you can.
Yeah. And that's such a great piece of advice. I'm actually really glad you said that. I actually don't even know if I've talked about that on here at all, is just to like put yourself out there. Because
yeah,
I love when you said like if you're going to be like a year behind just because you keep wanting to be perfect and putting out what seems perfect. Don't focus on what's perfect, because to be honest, your definition of not perfect is probably perfect to somebody else on the internet.
Yeah. Like I had something go out the other day that was like meant for an invitation.
Yeah.
It was like a piece. It was like a, you know, collage that I had done. And then they took it off the like invitation and they like rolled with it like on social. And I was like, oh my God, like this wasn't meant for that. It's like, this wasn't a piece of art that I created that it was like meant to be all over. Like it was meant for a ticket stub or whatever. And then I had someone reach out and they're like, this is so cool. And I'm like, oh my God, like I'm mortified because it's not what I meant it to be. It's not perfect.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I release. It is out there now. It is what it is. And it's done.
And there was clearly somebody who absolutely loved it, even if you didn't feel like that internally. Because again, it's literally us being perfectionists. And we're always going to do that to ourselves. I swear I could be the happiest I've ever been with something I've done for either my own brand or for a client's brand. And I will still, like, once I see it in use, or even just, I don't even know, just in general, like it will be complete and I'll be like, but should I maybe just, you know, move this a little down? Or yeah, like I will do it no matter what. It doesn't even matter. And then, you know, the client will be like, this is so perfect. Thank you so much. Again, just myself.
Yeah. And my point is that it just like, you're never like what you think is perfect. If you're striving for perfection before starting, you're never going to start. So just start.
It's true. And I've watched so many people wait till it's perfect. And I think one of the best things I did, and I can be so hard on myself, but the one thing that I will say to me when I first started out in this was, I am so happy I just started posting, even if I cringe looking back at some of my old.
Yeah.
I'm so happy I did that.
Absolutely.
That was the best thing I ever did because I started building a community and then word of mouth and then inquiries started flooding through, even if I look back and I cringe and I realize how far I've come.
Oh, yeah. And I think you'll always look back and cringe. Like there are projects that you're going to look back on and be like, oh, I love this. But most of the time when you look back, you're going to cringe, I think.
No, for sure.
I do.
We all do. And like, I think I've noticed a lot of people on social media will like delete things when they're not happy with it.
Yeah.
I've actually left up some of my really old work. I'm so glad you did because it shows your like evolution.
It's authentic.
Yes.
Absolutely. And then like, do you want like young aspiring artists to look at all of this work and think that you only started like at a more elevated state than you actually started in?
Yeah. No, it's so true.
Right?
I think it's good for anybody's mental health to see your growth, see how your style grew. And it's even funny to think that in the next year, two, three, four, five, however many.
10, yeah.
Like, yeah. Your style is going to continue to grow. And who knows if you're going to look back and think,
I hope so.
Wow, I really grew. But you're going to keep it up so that people can see it. I think that's the best part of it all. Like, I've left up so many projects that I would... It would turn out a lot differently now if I had started it, just because, you know what?
Absolutely.
Younger me was so proud of herself, actually, when she posted it, even if she was hard on herself.
Oh, absolutely. Every single milestone I was so excited about. And so I posted about, and why take that down now? That's part of the journey.
I actually did notice that with you, though, that you like you have so much content out and it's like you actually illustrate a lot of different subjects, products, whatever it might be. Like you illustrate, you have like a diverse range in your portfolio on your socials. And I really like that because it shows that you can work with a lot. Like it's not, you're not just tailored. Although I can tell you have a style and you've refined it. Your repertoire of what you've posted online is quite vast and it's large and it really showcases your skill set, even if it was from years ago.
Well, I think like, you know, when I first started doing this, which, you know, illustrating, it hasn't been that long. It's been about like 6 years. I was kind of like, if I'm going to make this work, I'm going to work in a lot of different styles because I'm going to be like a working, living artist. I'm going to own my place. I'm going to work.
Yeah.
And I was scared that like, you know, a lot of artists and that they're, look so beautiful, they're like very tailored to like one specific style. And in, you know, Canada isn't a big country when it comes to like work for artists.
Yeah,
there is enough work to feed us all, but like I was just kind of like trying to be as versatile as possible, and now I think I'm able to like I'm tailoring it a little bit more. But that being said, I still want to be versatile and I still want to try different things. And my feed is also not just like my work. It's like what my life is that's like surrounding this work. So like,
yeah,
I feel like it's important to show that I'm going to these events because I feel like by going to these events, I'm putting myself in front of different brand, you know, PR people. And then like those are the people that are in the end hiring me to do projects.
Yeah.
So like I love, and it's kind of like I'm bringing a little bit of that, not the TikTok vibe because I'm older than the whole TikTok set, but like that like lived in life to my Instagram. Does that make sense?
Like,
I'm not curating it as much as some people are.
Yeah, but it's realistic and it allows you to post whatever the heck you want and not have it feel like you're confined, because that limits anything. Like if you feel like you can't post something that you're proud of because it doesn't follow your aesthetic, maybe it's time to like reconsider the way you are posting on socials, because we should be proud to post whatever and whenever we want.
Yeah, I think I like seeing like life.
Yes.
Like I like seeing like the way you live. Like,
yeah,
you know, you're creating this amazing podcast. Like I want to see that back. And like, I want to see what you're doing every day, because I'm like, this is so inspiring to me. Like, I don't know if I could ever like run a podcast like this. So I don't know. I just love seeing that back end and not just like the static illustration.
Being personal, like really showcases how much care and intricacy goes into like everything. Like, I think people will be so curious to see a day in your life or how you like sit down and arrange your desk. Like, there's so many different ways to like showcase these things. And I was literally just talking about this with like my previous guest on an episode where we were talking like all things social media. So it's funny that you brought that up. Like, and it really helps out to start talking with people that like you inspire and you have no idea who you're inspiring. Although you've provided like so many amazing pieces of advice, I did want to ask if there was anything you would love to like wrap up the episode with, particularly for those that are maybe looking to pursue illustration as a career or business.
Yeah. I guess just get your art in front of people as much as you can. So like socials and TikTok, like that is just an amazing thing that, like, you know, I didn't have when I was in university. I'm dating myself, but I feel like that's really important. And like when you're building connections with people, like make sure they're really authentic. I'm really, really into authentic connections. I cringe when I go to something and I feel like someone is inauthentic. When I'm having a conversation where it's like, do for me, I do for you. That is like, I can't work that way. And I think that it's benefited me so much to just like make these like really honest, integral connections with females, especially because honestly, that's a lot of who I work with. Yeah. And just push yourself when you're scared.
Yeah.
Push yourself through that fear, because usually that's the gold on the other end of that.
Yeah. That's such a great way to like summarize what we talked about. And also bringing up the fact that we do need a good circle around us, that they feel like confidants.
Yeah.
We support each other, and the female community is always growing, and we could use that little push sometimes, that little nudge. Now, before we wrap up the episode, I just wanted to ask you where everybody can find you online, and is there anything that anybody can look out for maybe in the digital space?
Yeah. So I've done some illustrations for a new book that's coming out. It's called Style for Everybody. And that's going to be available, that is available right now for pre-order on Amazon. So I can link that. And then my Instagram is Nessa Lily and my website, nessalily.com.
Beautiful. I'm so excited to actually take a look at that. I had no idea. So I'll be sure to take a look. And for everybody that's tuning in, you can find all of these links down below in the show notes. And feel free to take a look at Nessa's work online. It's absolutely stunning. Send her a follow. Check it out. If you're an aspiring designer, truly, it's something to take a look at. So again, thank you so much for joining me. Talking today was so lovely.
Oh, thank you for having me. My first podcast. So thank you. Thank you.
Oh, I'm so happy to take your podcast virginity.
You did.
Thank you for tuning into today's episode. We're always brewing up something new for all of you to tune into and love hearing from you. Our team over here on Brewing and Creativity would love it if you joined our community in any capacity, whether it be checking us out on Instagram at Brewing and Creativity or leaving a review to help us better serve you as listeners. If you're looking to join or sponsor an episode, reach out to us through email, which is linked in our episode's show notes below. Thanks, creatives.